Hey friends, you're tuning in to Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives. All right, well, I am so excited to talk with you today, Baruch, because one, if the people don't already know, we have a hit single out.
Hey, right?
Wildest Dreams. Yes, I'm gonna probably play so a little good. Clip. I'm gonna play a little clip of it in here. But no, I'm just excited today. Thank you for taking time to talk with me. We've known each other just a few years, I think, right?
Yeah, I think we had a bunch of mutual friends and
yeah,
we're kind of like in the same industry, and then we just kind of connected like that. It's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I know we follow each other on social media, and just kind of have some similar friends and stuff. And so I was really excited to kind of bring you in just on this podcast because I think you share a lot of wisdom in your own spaces, and I also think you've lived a lot of life. I keep telling people that I have on, like, I'm realizing there's a lot of people our age. Like, I feel like everybody is wanting to share things and teach things. And I don't know if, like, we're all necessarily meant to teach at all times. Sometimes
right.
I think we need to just be, like, in a space of learning and stop trying to tell people what to do. But I feel like you are somebody who, you know, exemplifies, like, discipline and just, like, leaning in. And I don't know. There's just a lot of qualities in you that have just – inspired me and just really impressed me. And so I was like, we have to talk on the podcast because it's just,
that's so nice.
Good.
Thank you so much for the compliment. It means a lot. Coming from you, like, that holds so much more weight than anybody else, you know? So thank you.
Oh dude. Yeah, of course. Of course. You. So I just wanted to start off. I know it's like a hard question just to be asked, but I just wanted you to kind of introduce yourself and just,
sure.
Yeah, who you are and just kind of your brand and your journey.
Sure. So my name is Baruch Sanchez, and I am originally from Nicaragua, Managua, Nicaragua. For those of you who don't know, it's not in Africa. A lot of people are like, oh yeah, I've heard of Nicaragua. That's next to Somalia. I'm like, no, it's not. It's next to Costa Rica.
Oh, that's so funny. I didn't know people know, right? That.
Yeah, I get that. You'd be surprised. Born and raised in Nicaragua, had missionary parents, and moved to LA about maybe 5-6 years ago. And my journey as a musician has evolved over time. When I was 16, I got my first big break as a electric guitarist, music director for some pretty cool artists. Did the whole tour life thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of my testimony, which I'm sure we'll get into, led me to where I am now, which is I do my own music now. And like you were saying earlier, we have a song together, which is a banger. Everybody should go listen to it.
Yes, banger.
Your voice is what really made it, like,
oh gosh,
what it is.
You're so kind.
So what I do now, the journey that I'm on is, it's awesome. I absolutely love it. I'm on the favorite phase of my season so far.
Yeah.
And I get a chance to, mainly what I do is I travel many, many different countries most of the year. And I do worship nights. And I also teach a creative class and a worship masterclass to empower, you know, local leaders and musicians, and try to give them practical and spiritual tools that they can use to, like, really just elevate, you know, their lifestyle, their identity, and, you know, their calling, and just kind of push people into their purpose. I do that. And I also, you know, I'm a songwriter, a producer, and I have a little bit of some business projects that I'm doing. Started building an Airbnb in Joshua Tree during COVID.
Which looks amazing. I'm about to book it when you open it up. Oh my
gosh. I know.
Gosh.
Thank you. It's been taking a little bit of time because I'm building it myself, you know. And I started to do that because, you know, during COVID, all my tours got canceled. Like, you know. And you didn't know how long it was going to be. So I had this little bit of a, you know, existential crisis. Like, what am I supposed to do with my life?
Totally.
You know, like, I was basing my life on, you know, what I was doing. And then I couldn't do that anymore. So one of the ideas I got was, you know, to invest into Joshua Tree and start building. And it was a project that just took a lot of my time, a lot of my savings. But it's like 80% done. And I'm excited. We'll definitely have to do like a songwriting trip.
Oh my gosh, when we're out there. Yes.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And yeah, that's basically my life in the season, a little bit of business and a lot of, you know, traveling, ministry, and just working on a book as well. I started writing over COVID and I'll be finishing it up this summer. So yeah.
Dude, good for you. Are you somebody who, like, because it seems like you like to pursue things that you know nothing about and learn how to get it done? Or do you feel like somebody who is like pretty well educated and experienced in, like, I mean, did you just think like I should learn how to build a house, or have you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm really into like reinventing myself and always learning and asking questions and, you know, pump that curiosity and do the work, you know? There's a lot of different things that maybe I have a little bit of experience in, like building a house. Like I had to build some stuff back in Nicaragua because my family has a nonprofit. And so we were always like, like we had an orphanage and stuff. So we were always building rooms and like painting and adding windows and stuff. So I had some experience, but definitely had to go on that YouTube, you know, and call up some friends for advice. It's like, well, how do you lay down the brick, you know? Because it has to do with like permits and everything. And anyway, so definitely a curious person, always willing to learn, always willing to ask questions and do the work, you know.
No, that's
and I
super
love it.
Cool.
Absolutely love it. It's the same thing with like doing my own music. I was so used to just like being a guitarist for other people. And then I remember my mentor one day when I moved here to LA, he's like, why are you trying to just be under somebody else's shadow? He's like, God gave you a voice, he gave you a gift. It's time for you to like step out, do the uncomfortable thing, and just learn to master your craft, which I'm still doing. You know?
Yeah. No, that's so important. And then how did you get into, and I know I wanted to hear just a little bit about just, some of your testimony and faith journey. How did you get into leading worship?
You know, it's so funny. If you asked me like, I don't know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, like if I would ever do ministry, I would be like, heck no. That was like the fun, like, like the last thing I wanted to do because, you know, I grew up in church. Like my parents were pastors and did ministry life, and they went through a divorce, and it was like a lot of different, you know, things that I experienced growing up that really turned me off to church and like ministry life and all that stuff. So, but God has a funny way of doing things, you know. One of my favorite verses, one of my favorite verses is in Proverbs, and it says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but God's purpose will prevail. Right. So anyway, long story short, I mentioned about how I, you know, grew up in church. And then when I turned like 13, I started to play like in punk rock bands and like really like heavy metal bands, and started to make like some really bad friendships. That was like during my parents' divorce, you know, so I like fully dove deep into music. And it was a crazy experience back in Latin America at those times, doing underground concerts and all that stuff. Yeah, and then, like I said, at 16, I got my first big break, like playing for like a big artist. And, you know, I got my own house. I was making a lot of money, and I didn't have the accountability that matched like the gift. which is a big issue today in a lot of people. I like what Christine Kane says, that like if the light that's on you is bigger than the light that it's in you, that same light will destroy you. It's so true, and that's what happened to me. You know, so I had these like years of like quote unquote success by the standard of the world, but my personal life was just a mess, you know. I was in all these like self-destructive behaviors, making stupid decisions, hanging out with the wrong people, no accountability, no real friends that like actually like looked out for me. They were just like drinking friends or party friends. And just everything superficial. And I never like was like an atheist or anything, you know, like I always knew like God is real, like I can't deny it. But I was just being rebellious. Long story short, I had like this really crazy week, and I just made some really bad decisions, and I was at the end of this party, and I remember just sitting outside, and I felt so empty, and like I just looked around, you know, at in my house, and I didn't recognize like all the people that were there. It was really sad, you know. like, how can you be surrounded by so many people yet so alone? And and so in that moment, I like had a genuine encounter with God, and I was like, and I prayed, and I was like, Lord, like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm tired of running away. Like, I need a change in my life, and I'm gonna, you know, just commit myself to you. Mm-hmm. And I did, and I felt like God told me, you know, like, hey, if you really want change, like, you have to change your environment. You know, you have to move away. And I decided to sell all my things, and within a week, booked a ticket to LA, moved away.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Started from zero. Started from zero. You know, made new friends here. Started going to church. And then I wanted to, you know, keep playing for different artists. That was like my goal, right? Mm-hmm. And so I started to audition for like different major artists, like Khalid, or like different bands that were getting together. And I remember I would always get like callbacks, right? From like, I don't know, from like 150 guys who auditioned, it went down to like me and this other guy. And at the very last moment, the MD would say, hey, you know, like, you don't fit the look of the management. There's this issue here, this issue there.
I hated those callbacks. I'm like, then why did you even call me back? If you already saw what I look like.
Like, just don't call me.
Right. Just, a text is fine.
And I know you're in the, like, the touring and like, you know, musician for hire thing. So you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And so I was so upset. I was like, God, like, what the heck? Like, I'm finally like living for you. Like, I'm trying to do things right. Like, why are all the doors closing on the things that I want to do? And the funny thing was that, like, in that same time period, like, I started to, like, serve at a church. And I was, like, doing, like, just guitar and, you know, music directing. And the worship leader that we had all of a sudden just said, hey, screw this. Like, I don't like this church. I'm leaving. Like, that same Sunday morning. And my pastor was like,
we love that. I know.
Just, you know, casual Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And then my pastor was like, well, he's like, there's nobody else to do it. So you have to do it. You have to sing. Get up there. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't sing. So I was kind of like placed in there without my consent.
That's hilarious.
Hilarious, right? And so I started to do it. And I just, I don't know, I just like fell in love with it. And just began to like learn about worship leading. And then it was crazy because I've seen like the big stages and like when people are singing like just random songs. And then when you compare that to like a room of people singing, not just the same thing, but to the same person, which is God, and like they're united, that spiritual element really is like so unique and so like beautiful. Like there's nothing that matches it. Like I've literally played in arenas like 80,000 people. I'll still take a room with 10 people like praising the name of Jesus, you know, like over that any day. So yeah, so that's taken me to where I am now. In the last like I would say 3-4 years, I've just been focused on, you know, doing worship, learning, ministry, and traveling, and God opened these crazy doors all over the world. And I don't even know how he's done it. I just I just go.
That's wow, so, that's amazing. I guess I didn't realize you had moved over here just within a week. Just feel it like that.
I know.
Come on, obedience. That's amazing.
Right? I know. It's crazy.
Wow.
But I love it. It's, it hasn't always been easy, but it's always been fun, you know? So.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I feel like you've already kind of started to touch on the topic of what we were going to talk about today, but it's like clear throughout just like your journey, the importance and the role of like relationships and people in our lives. And we talked a little bit before this and just, you know, you were, you've been talking about how passionate you are about like pursuing good and healthy relationships. And like you even brought up already like a mentor and even just the way that like people in our lives can be so influential for the better or for the worst, you know? And so I would love for you just to kind of start us off on like the role that you think relationships play. Like, why do we feel like it's such an important thing?
Yeah, I think there's many different, you know, things to talk about in regards to the same topic. I think in order to want good relationships and cultivate that, I think first you need to be the friend that you want to have. You know what I mean? Like, if I want people who are loyal, people who speak into my life, people who care, let me be that friend first. mm-hmm. and then you will attract that. Totally. And a lot of times we just like sit and complain like, oh, I don't have any good friends, or like, mm-hmm. I don't know, I just can't find people. And it's like, well, are you going out of your way to like be that friend that people need?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And then I mean, it's so important to have community. We're built for community. Yeah. Literally, yeah. even just scientifically, like as mammals, yeah. we thrive and just succeed when we feel like we belong and mm-hmm. we have our crew. And like, it's so healthy for so many different, mm-hmm. you know, spiritual and physical aspects. Like yep. we need people, and we need good quality people, because you know who you spend your time with is really going to determine who you become. Mm-hmm. Right. And I've, of course, I've read the data on that, but I've also experienced it. And I know that yeah, when like
right.
I hang with people who like aren't going in the same direction, or, you know, have just, I don't know, just toxic behaviors or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's never good. It's, you yeah. know, a lot of times we cling to people that belonged in a certain area of our lives, like in our past.
Totally.
And we think, yeah. I know, and we think that just because we have a history with them, yeah. that they still belong. And it's like, no, yeah. just because they're a part of your history doesn't mean they're a part of your destiny. And it's okay to like.
And it's so painful to realize it's that.
Painful. It's painful.
It is. Yeah.
But you know what's more painful? It's more painful to actually waste so much of your precious time that we don't have mm-hmm. that much of. On the right. wrong places, like sowing your time in the wrong, you know, soil. And mm-hmm. I think it takes a lot of maturity and self-awareness to say, mm-hmm. hey, it's time to move on. And it hurts, mm-hmm. but we grow, you know, through pain. So
mm-hmm.
it's so important to have good quality friendships, good quality relationships. It's not about mm-hmm. the quantity, it's about the quality, right? I'd rather,
totally.
You know, before when I was living like crazy, I had hundreds of friends, right? And now that I'm like doing things right and I'm really trying to like be accountable, it's like I can count them. It's like I have a few friends only that mm-hmm. are like really my people, but yeah. I can count on them with my life.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I can trust them. Yeah. I know they're going to like speak into my life. If I'm messing up, they're not just going to agree with everything that I say,
right.
but they're going to go out of their way to like, you know, make sure that I'm, you know, fulfilling my purpose and doing the right
mm-hmm.
thing. So yeah, I just want to encourage anyone listening, like go out of your way and find good friends
yeah.
or
yeah.
be that good friend
mm-hmm.
because it's the most important thing, you know,
yeah.
for
right.
just a healthy life.
Absolutely. And I think of, I mean, I even just think biblically, like how scripture tells us to navigate relationships, right? Like there's so
yeah.
many scriptures. I think of even just like in Proverbs when it talks about like, you know, iron sharpens iron. So one person sharpens another, and you know,
yeah.
Romans talks all about living in harmony with each other. And there's all these verses as well that talk about like, you know, to forgive one another and to not bear offense and all of these things. And I think for me, it's like, we've been given so much scripture because one, that's how important relationship is, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's how important God thinks relationship is, but it's also like, he already knew the things that we would struggle with in relationships. And so he was already starting to give us like the blueprint. Like, I know people are going to be crazy. So
yeah,
forgive them, you know, 70 times 70, forgive them more than that because you're going to need to, right? Like he's already given
yeah.
us like all of these blueprints. And I think sometimes
so
we
good.
Forget all the time. Like, oh my gosh, but people can suck. And then I
yeah.
think of like, yeah, God actually gave us like a prescription for that though. Like he actually told
yeah.
us, he didn't say people aren't going to be bad. It's not going to be
yeah.
easy to, you know, live with each other. It's not going to be easy to pursue unity and to, you know, not have offense, all of that stuff. And he's like,
yeah.
I get it. And here's how
That's
we handle
so good.
It.
And I love that you just brought up the topic of unity, because I think
yeah.
a lot of times we think unity means uniformity, and that's not
right.
true.
Right.
Like unity means like we're together and we're thriving and we're a community. Uniformity means like we're all the same and we all think
mm-hmm.
the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a big topic today because,
yes.
and it's such a toxic thing because if we only pursue friendships that
mm-hmm.
like only agree with us or only think the way that we think,
right.
like we can't grow that way. It saddens me so much when I see people like on Instagram, you know, debating on things. And I've even seen people post like, hey, like if you voted for this person or if you believe in this, like unfriend me,
right.
like don't talk to me.
Right. Right.
I've even met families who like,
mm-hmm.
they don't talk to their parents or their kids. And I'm like, come on, we're not always going to agree. And the crazy thing is the Bible actually addressed this in the book of Romans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul talks so much about like, hey, you know, keep the main thing, the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be so many times when you're not going to agree on certain right. things. You're not going to agree on the Sabbath. You might not agree on certain kinds of foods that are good for you. Mm-hmm. But he's like, don't let that out be bigger than your love for one each other.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think it's a reminder that when we're talking about building healthy friendships, healthy relationships, it's like, well, you know, don't avoid the uncomfortable conversations.
Yeah.
You know, and I think to develop good relationships, we also have to develop being good conversationalists and we have to be mm-hmm. great listeners. That's the biggest part of a conversation.
For sure.
It's listening, sure. you know, and actually yeah. that's like such a hard thing to do mm-hmm. because usually like when somebody's talking, we're just thinking about what is our response going to be or how wrong totally. They are or, you know, of a story that I can relate to that or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, just
totally.
You need to silence your mind and just mm-hmm. listen to the other person, listen mm-hmm. to understand. Don't listen to just react or respond. It's like mm-hmm. put yourself in their shoes, in their context, and that will develop good relationships. You know,
mm-hmm. that's, yeah,
it's
really
a whole
good.
Thing. Yeah,
it's a whole thing. I growing up, my dad always taught me like just learn how to ask good questions.
Yeah,
you know,
oh,
because
yeah.
I think like you're saying, it's you know, and a lot of times it's not even out of like sometimes it is out of arrogance and pride, but also other times it's like I just want to make sure I have something to say. I want to make sure I you know it can
yeah.
be insecurity and stuff like that. And so I definitely found sometimes like I would always be the question askerer. And then
yeah.
I would have to like guard myself. I'm not saying I'm far from a perfect friend and conversationalist, but I found like, I was like, dang, I feel like I'm asking all the questions and like nobody cares to ask me anything, you know? And I had
That's
to work
so
on my
funny.
Own heart and be like, okay,
That's
Lord,
so
why
funny.
Am I? But what else do you think like, especially like we're saying, like we're in a, and I hate always talking about it, but like a post, you know, COVID lockdown era, right? Where I think it's become even more difficult for people to befriend one another, whether it already, like you mentioned, it be political and all of that kind of stuff. But yeah, what do you think are some other areas that I think a lot of us tend to just stay away from community because we kind of, I'm like, I got it. I'm good on my own. Like I've learned how to handle
yeah.
this by myself. People can be a nuisance.
Yeah, you know. I think, yeah, no, definitely. A lot of people are afraid to like make new friends or even get in new relationships. And I think a lot of time it has to do with trauma. And I've been reading a lot about it. And I'm a huge nerd for like neuroscience. And
same.
And, you know, just I think we listen to the same podcast, like the Huberman Lab, right?
Oh,
he's so good.
Obsessed with him. Obsessed. I went and saw him lecture like when I lived up in NorCal and he was in Stanford. I went.
Oh, you did?
I was like, ugh.
Oh, obsessed. What a treat.
Obsessed.
What a treat.
Hmm.
But anyway, yeah, all that to say is that sometimes, you know, we really need to work on ourselves and our self-awareness and find out like what triggers certain responses in our lives and try mm-hmm. to find the root of that so
yeah.
that we can heal. So for example, mm-hmm. if you think that you're like, if you find yourself constantly being a guarded or distrustful person
yeah.
and, you know, always waiting for like the but, you know, it's like, I met this new person, but I'm waiting for them to like
mm-hmm.
prove me right about mm-hmm. this like
mm-hmm.
bias that I have. I think
mm-hmm.
number one, we have to get rid of biases,
yeah.
you know, because
yeah.
Some bias, like a lot of biases are very toxic. You're like,
yep.
what is a bias? You're literally telling yourself a story about someone that
right.
you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And you're
right.
allowing that to shape your expectation, which
mm-hmm.
there is such like crazy things that happen in your
mm-hmm.
you know brain's chemistry when you have an expectation about an outcome
mm-hmm.
you know, so always
totally.
Be curious about yeah yeah so always be curious and don't be completely like shut off to
mm-hmm.
new people, new experiences, even
mm-hmm.
if you've been let down 100 times, like
right.
don't let that, you know, block you from
mm-hmm.
another experience that might change and alter your previous, you know, context on how you see the world. So, yeah, it's really interesting. I think self-awareness really has a key element in this, like really
mm-hmm.
asking yourself the deep questions like, okay, what's triggering me? Why is it triggering me? What can I do to work on myself
mm-hmm.
that will help me heal? You know, do I need to speak to a therapist maybe? Okay,
right.
let's do it. Like there's
mm-hmm.
such a stigma with like mental health, I think, especially
mm-hmm.
in the church and
right.
growing up, any mental health issue was a demon, right?
Yeah, totally.
It's like, oh, you're depressed. Oh, that's a demon. Like, we're just going to pray. Mm-hmm. And right. obviously, there is a spiritual side to it, a spiritual side to everything. Everything's spiritual, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, if you break your arm, like, we're going to pray, but let's also get you to the hospital, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And get you some care, right? There's no stigma about that. But I feel like with a lot of mental health issues, like, it was just not even talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like shoved under the rug. And like, we're just going to pray things get better. And it's like, no, like, of course we can pray. And I've seen God make miracles, and I've seen him, you know, just in an instant heal somebody from mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
But also I believe God gave doctors the cognitive ability and the intelligence to create science and to create ways that they can help people practically. And that glorifies God, you know, in the same way.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. It's
you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, 100%. I feel like God is such like a whole healing type of God. So it's like we have access to, spiritual, but it's also emotional and mental and physical. Like there's so many aspects to it. And it's not like God is over here and all of this over here is not him as well. Like, you know, and I think like you're talking about in like the neuroscience community and like the psychology community, like I feel like a lot of people in those communities do not realize how biblical they sound when they're saying things.
Right.
Right. Like you're like, oh my gosh, this is so in line with what God says. Right. So I totally agree with you. It's really cool. It's, you know, I think in just in my own self, I can struggle with, I'm very transparent with people, but I can really struggle with vulnerability. Like for me, there's definitely a tipping point. For me, and I think as well, like conflict. So, and I know this whole conversation is churchy when we start to talk about like the Enneagram, but for me, the Enneagram was helpful just to see that things that I thought about. So I'm a nine. So I'm like, I'm a peacekeeper. So realizing like things for like a type nine and how we view conflict, that was actually really helpful for me just to learn like I'm not psychotic and really unhealthy in the way that I think that it's actually, you know what I mean? Like that there's actually ways that people view conflict as really terrifying. Now that's not an excuse for me to be like, see, I don't engage in conflict because I'm terrified.
100%.
But I was able to realize like, okay, let's stop like crapping on myself for being, you know, scared to have these conversations and realize like, okay, this is just something I'm going to have to kind of spend a little bit more time working on because I'm afraid it's going to like make you hate me and we're not going to be friends after I bring up something, you know? But it's like you're saying it's self-awareness and it's 100%. learning. And I know a lot of people can like, so many people hate the Enneagram and I get why they would and I get why they wouldn't. So,
I think you're saying something really, really awesome because the Enneagram can be a tool, right?
Yeah.
It could either be used as an excuse for your behavior or it can be used as a tool for your self-awareness to say, okay, now I understand and I'm able to see some of my blind spots and, you know, now I can address the issue. Or maybe it's not even an issue. It's just an explanation of your behavior because we're all different, right? We're all built different. We all have a different psychological background and outfit and we're trying to navigate life and trying to be better. So I agree with you. I've never been a huge fan of Enneagrams and stuff.
But recently
I'm more open to it on the self-awareness side because there's so many studies that talk about how like EQ self-awareness is a bigger predictor of success than IQ because it's something that can actually develop and you're not just born with. And if you take the time to develop it, like, you know, everything is about relationships, like in the workplace, in your personal life, in your business life. It's all about people. And I think like in the 80s and 70s, you know, we were taught like, keep your feelings out of it, right? This is work. This is the, you know, but now like there's so much scientific and psychological data about the power of like emotion and emotional intelligence, self-awareness. And I feel like it's all interconnected, like your self-awareness and your emotional intelligence is like directly linked to your ability to have healthy relationships.
Yeah, that's really good. You brought up earlier a mentor. Can you talk a little bit about like the power of mentorship and even maybe how you came to, because I feel like there's a lot of us and I have found a mentor as well and it's been life-changing. And so just ways that maybe you found them and also some practical ways for somebody who's looking for a mentor.
Yeah, I think mentoring is awesome. And I think like another word for a mentor is like a pastor, right? Somebody who can speak into your life, somebody who like looks out for you and like has your back. And to be honest, it's really hard to find a mentor.
Yeah.
I think especially like in LA where people have their own agendas, people, you know, don't have time, everyone's so busy. So there might be seasons where you don't have a mentor and, you know, you might just have to just go straight into the Word of God or listen to a podcast. There's a podcast I love. It's the Bible in a Year podcast. And it's Father Mike Schmidt. And he yeah, it's so good. Nice. He like reads scripture and then he explains the context and just gives a teaching, and it's helped me so much. But when I first moved here, I think you actually might know him. I met this guy. His name's Edwin Carranza. He's an MD. I love him. He's an incredible guy.
Yeah.
And he started to mentor me. I was like, hey, bro, I was like, I'm new to LA. Like, I really admire you. Like, if there's any time that you have, like, please just like, and he opened up his doors, you know, and I would come and, and he just challenged my thinking so much. He like really just like helped me to get rid of biases and helped me like, with like understanding what excellence and discipline is. And he really set a foundation. I don't think he knows how much impact he had in my life. Which I think is the good like marker of a mentor. It's like they're just being themselves, right?
Just being
They're just doing what they do. And he really like changed my life and my mindset. And you know, it wasn't too many sessions that we had, but it was enough that like really helped me like be in the right course. And then on the spiritual side, I have a pastor who just speaks into my life, and we get coffee here and there, and he's like, "How's your heart? How are you doing?" And also, I think he always follows us up with like, okay, how can I help you? Like practically, because a lot of times, like we always like, I think as Christians, we always just give advice, but we never actually give anything practical to help people. And it's like, for example, somebody is like during a crisis and we're like, okay, I'll pray for you. I'm not nagging on prayer. Prayer is powerful. It moves mountains.
Absolutely.
Things happen, but it's like, okay, we also have practical tools. It's like, okay, how can I help you? Do you need me to come over and talk? Can I send you some money? It's like, do you need me to talk to someone? And you know what I mean? There's so many things that we have the power to do. Like we're literally the hands and feet of Jesus here on earth. So, so I think mentors are so important, having a pastor, but also you can't just sit and wait for a mentor to show up.
That's good.
You know, the student finds a teacher kind of thing, you know? And that's what I did with my mentors. It's like I reached out. I took the first step. You know, I can't just sit here and wait. So I just want to challenge people to like take the step, you know, find people that you admire and like people that you really respect, people of integrity that you're like, okay, like I kind of want something that he wants. And then be willing to be humble enough to like learn and open yourself. And it might be uncomfortable when they challenge, you know, your way of thinking or how you've done something for so long. But like I said, you know, we grow through pain, you know.
We grow through pain. Yeah. And that's good. You brought up a good point of like even having mentorship in different areas, having a spiritual mentor. But I did the same thing in music as well. There are some, you know, different singers and that I was like, I want to do what you're doing. And so I hit them up, like didn't really even know them, but was just like, can you impart anything, you know, to me? And it has been, I mean, just so helpful. We've talked earlier also just about like success. And I think the role that community and success like really do coincide with one another, because I think a lot of us can really try and do things on our own, which can definitely be my default. I'm down to kind of just like grit it and bear it and just like go for it. But can you talk a little bit about like success when it comes to, I mean, every aspect of our life, but how important people play in the role of our success as well?
Yeah. I like what John Maxwell said. He said, we can go, you know, faster alone, but we can go further together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And it's so true, because I think people like you and me are very independent. And it's like, sometimes we might fall into like, well, this needs to get done, so I'm just going to do it myself.
Totally.
Like, I don't want to wait on anybody. And I fall into that sometimes. And I think sometimes there's a healthy balance, like, of being independent and doing things on your own.
Yeah.
But you also always have to make sure that you don't fall into the trap of just doing everything on your own, because then you become right. lonely, and you might become frustrated with yourself, and you're overstretching yeah. yourself in areas that you shouldn't. Mm-hmm. So having a team with you, or support mm-hmm. or people you can share your vision and your passion and collaborate with,
yeah.
like, even in collaboration, there's so much power.
Yeah.
Think about, let's talk about songwriting for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I have different strengths when it comes to it. Like, for example, yeah. I can do a really good catchy chorus, but mm-hmm. verses, I struggle with that. So
yeah.
what do? I call in my community, on my mm-hmm. two songwriting friends, and I'm like, hey, I have this idea. Can we, like, you know, have some coffee, some tea, and just, like, go over the song?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, we have a session and we have the song, because mm-hmm. I decided to not do it by myself. Now, mm-hmm. I didn't just go to get a product that's amazing. I went further, and, like, it's better. It's mm-hmm. so much nicer, and
mm-hmm.
and it feels great, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we yeah. collaborated on our song, that song
yeah.
would not be the same with just my voice.
That's
you
so
really, like,
fun.
Took it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing about success. You asked me, like, what is success?
Yeah.
And this is such a important thing to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Because in today's culture, mm-hmm. we are bombarded on social media with what success looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like, okay, well, you open up your Instagram or your TikTok, and there's, like, a 16-year-old who's a millionaire driving a Ferrari.
Right.
And it's like, okay, automatically you want to think, oh, he's doing something right. And you compare
mm-hmm.
yourself, and you're like, I'm doing something wrong. I'm
mm-hmm.
so behind. Like,
mm-hmm.
what am I doing with my life? You have another existential crisis. You begin to question
mm-hmm.
yourself. You get to have all this sort of anxiety, which might lead
mm-hmm.
you to depression if it goes unaddressed. And we have allowed, like, the world, when I say the world, I mean, like, the secular
right.
systems and,
mm-hmm.
and media to define what success is.
Right.
And I think as Christians, we can't allow that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
first of all, it's an unrealistic expectation to put
mm-hmm.
somebody else's context and life and their, you know, psychological outfit and place that on
yeah.
you and
right.
and just say, like, no, we're not running the same race. We're not on
right.
the same timeline. It's like we have different goals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think success for me looks a few different ways. And
mm-hmm.
if you allow me, I'll explain
what
definitely. I mean by that. I think number one, I think in the kingdom of God, it's like success is backwards, right?
That's what
and
I was just thinking, yeah.
Yeah, it's backwards. So, like,
yep.
Jesus says, it's like, the greatest among you is not the one who's at the head of the table. It's the one who's serving. The last shall be least. You know, that means the last
yeah.
shall be first. The first shall be last,
yeah. Yeah.
you know? And it's like, when you think about that, he's like really changing your mindset to, like,
mm-hmm.
think success looks different. It's about
mm-hmm.
serving. It's about
mm-hmm.
people. It's not about you.
Yeah.
I think
right.
in other words, that's what he's saying. It's like, it's not
yeah.
about you and, like,
yeah.
and what you can accumulate, what you can
mm-hmm.
prove. It's like,
mm-hmm.
what's the point of having everything if you have nobody?
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, John Maxwell also says, he's like, what's the point of getting to the top if you're there by yourself?
Right.
Right.
For sure.
And it's all about people. It's all about the
mm-hmm.
journey. And I know it can sound sometimes very cliche to say, like,
mm-hmm.
oh, it's about the destination,
mm-hmm.
but we don't act in such a way that that makes it about the journey. And it's like, okay,
totally.
Have grace with yourself to understand that your journey is going to look different than everybody else's.
Right.
Like, you might be 40 and not married yet, and that's okay.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You might
yeah.
be, and also, like, you might be that 16-year-old guy who bought $100
totally.
In Dogecoin in 2012
mm-hmm.
and now has a Ferrari. That's
right.
awesome. Let's
right.
celebrate it.
Right, right. Totally. Totally. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, have grace with yourself. Have the self-awareness to you know, to not just compare yourself, because comparison
mm-hmm.
kills everything. It kills
yeah.
your mood. It kills your creativity, your drive.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, focus
yeah.
on, like, what can I do? Okay,
mm-hmm.
maybe I'm not happy where I am right now, but what can I do
yeah.
different? Can I
yeah.
treat my relationships in a better way? Can I invest
mm-hmm.
my time in different things? There's a powerful
mm-hmm.
book I read. It's called Atomic Habits, which is, like,
yeah.
something that everybody is, like,
yes.
reading right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you read it?
I, you know what? I read it a while ago.
Okay. Before it was cool.
Before it was cool, but I have a few friends reading it now
okay.
and they just keep talking about it. So I'm like, I gotta get back to it. Cause
yeah,
I don't remember.
So
I don't remember a lot of what I read.
Well, one thing he says is people don't rise to the level of their goals. They fall to the level of their systems. Yeah, and it's so true. So it's like, well, everybody has goals, right? But yeah, what's the difference between those people who make it happen and those who don't?
Yep. Yep.
Number one is discipline, right? Mm-hmm. Choosing what you want most over what you want now. And number mm-hmm. two, it's like, what systems do you have in place? You want mm-hmm. better relationships? What are you mm-hmm. doing to have and craft mm-hmm. those relationships? You want to, you know, get fit? Like, are you putting gym time in your calendar at a non-negotiable time? You know, so
yeah,
I just
yeah.
want to challenge people, like, create systems yeah. that are going right. to, you know, take you in that place where mm-hmm. it's success for you and in the biblical mm-hmm. standard.
Yeah.
And it's possible if we just have the intention mm-hmm. to do it.
Yeah. That's really good. What are, if you don't mind me asking, like, what are some systems you've created for yourself to help you?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I think one of the big ones is like a morning routine.
Yeah.
So it's good. So important. Mm-hmm. You know, just as soon as I wake up, number one, you know, it's like, don't check your phone. I still struggle with this. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a hard one.
I think that's a hard one because, like, yeah. you get a bad text and it's like your day's ruined, right?
Day's done.
Day's done. It's like, I'll just go back to sleep.
Yep. Ugh. Yep. I'll tell you.
I'm going to hit the snooze button. It's like yeah. right back to bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, number one, it's like, don't check your phone, make your bed. Then I make some coffee and I go outside and I read in the sun. Actually, mm-hmm. I like to listen to the Bible in your podcast I mentioned.
Cool.
While I'm doing my coffee, you know,
yeah.
go outside and just read a book, journal. Mm-hmm. And that kind of like sets me like in the right headspace.
Mm-hmm.
for the day to tackle the challenges.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, then I have a to-do list for the day
mm-hmm.
and I try to organize it by like priority, like this is number one, mm-hmm. number two, and I'm checking it out through the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. One of the things that I've been trying to be more intentional about is like checking in on my friends too. It's like mm-hmm. doesn't hurt to send yeah. a text, hey, how are you doing?
Totally.
Pick up the phone, call them, let's get coffee,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Invest into that. I found that I'm not really good at working out in the mornings.
Yeah.
I just don't have the energy, to
yeah.
be honest.
Yeah.
So I work out at night. That's like the last thing I do,
mm-hmm.
6 days a week. And yeah, just trying to prioritize, you know, what's important in my life and trying
yeah.
to tackle that as much as I can.
Yeah. No, but that's so good.
Those are my systems.
Yeah, I think, and you brought up something, I think it's also really important to find out just the systems that work for each one of us.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I think most people would be like, I have to work out in the morning, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of us who prefer to work out in the morning, but some people are night owls and some people that's when you get
yeah.
kind of your second wind and all of that kind of stuff. And working with my mentor and just the things we've been going through is like, one of the things I've been working on is how I set goals. Cause I hate goals. I just do. Like, I've hated talking about goals. I'm just like, but the reason I hated it was because I knew I wasn't going to do it. It was
yeah.
like, I had all these really, really cool, lofty goals and things, but I was like, zero chance I'm going to do this. But
it's like
I'm
just millionaire by 28.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All of these things. But the biggest thing for me in our conversation with it has been that, like, goal, rather than, you know, goals being what I want to do, making goals for who I want to be. So
ooh.
It's been really cool to learn about writing goals for how I am as a daughter, goals for how I am as an auntie. I'm obsessed with my niece and nephews. And that has been so freeing for me because
oh yeah,
I think most of our goals are always like career related. And then,
yeah.
but like you're saying, like relational goals, what are my relational goals? How do I want to be a friend? Like how, you know, and that for me has been so freeing because saying I want to be a millionaire by 28, while I wouldn't hate, you know, I'm not,
yeah.
I'm older than 28, but like, while that kind of a goal I wouldn't hate, I don't know. That's not something for me. If I were to put that in a goal, like, who do I want to be for me, just in my own head, do I want to be a millionaire? For me, I want to be somebody with rich relationship, rich resources. You know what I mean? Like those kind of
yeah.
things for me are what help motivate me. But I also know there are types who like, no, like I'm a goal oriented person. Give me my morning to-do list and I'm gonna kill it, you know? So it's,
yeah,
it's so cool how, I think it's just beautiful how God creates us also differently. And there's
definitely
ways that we can go towards success. And I think it's, you said it, but I just think a lot of times we only focus on career success.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a slippery slope. And I love what you talked about identity. Yeah. And that's actually what I've been writing about in my book. Mm. And it's about identity. It's like, it's not what you do, it's who you are, right?
Yeah.
And when you try to tackle a goal, and you do it from the perspective of this is who I am, it's much easier than just like trying to, you know, get into this imposter syndrome where you're somebody you're not.
Yep.
It's like, I'm not on a diet, I'm a healthy person. Mm-hmm. There's like a mindset shift in that where you're not trying to be an imposter, right? It's like, I've decided that this is who I am. Therefore, I will change mm-hmm. and become in the direction of, you know, who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who said it, but it's like people don't decide their future. They decide their habits, and their habits decide their future. Totally. What is your habits? It's a reflection of your identity. Who are you?
You know?
And if you take the time to have the self-awareness once again, mm-hmm. to maybe you have to do something practical, like write it down, you know, get the yellow legal pad. Mm-hmm. And say, okay, my name is Baruch Sanchez, and this is who I am, right? And just write it down. I am mm-hmm. a person of integrity. Mm-hmm. I am a person who values friendships. I am a person mm-hmm. with major discipline. I am a person, mm-hmm. you know, who eats healthy. I'm, you know, I work out. I am a reader.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is that you want to become, like, mm-hmm. write it down mm-hmm. and create those systems that are going to, you know, come from that place of identity, not from a place of just, you know, faking a performance until you get caught.
Right. Yeah. No, that's really good.
You know,
that's so
and
good.
It takes time. It takes time. So have grace with yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah. You're not going to write everything down and the next day be killing it in every single area.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. But, you know, even science backs up the whole concept of what we're talking about. And like you said, earlier was so funny because you're like, scientists and, you know, neuroscientists, psychologists don't realize how like they sound like they're quoting scripture a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And it's so true. Like, think about neuroplasticity, which is the brain's ability to change. And then the Bible talks about how, you know, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And it's like, well, our mind literally has the ability to change in the direction of our deepest thoughts and our actions. Mm-hmm. And if we just, you know, begin to view ourselves in the Christian context, let's say like a child of God, like mm-hmm. a person who's no longer dealing with these like things and, you know, I'm stronger in these areas now, your chemical, your brain will rewire itself in that direction. So it's amazing. It's fascinating to learn about like science and God, and to mix it. And it's like, everything's kind of confirming itself, you know, each other.
Right. Oh my gosh. I feel you. And I feel like it just deepens my faith even more. Cause it's just like,
oh yeah.
I mean, not like he needs to hear it from me, but like, God, you really know what you were doing when you made us. Yeah. You really did.
Yeah. And when you think about all that we don't know, you know, all the stuff we're so ignorant of, that just confirms even deeper. It's really beautiful.
Yeah,
you know, I love it.
Yeah, that's super good.
Yeah. Man, I'm here for it.
I'm here for it. That's really good. My last question for you, because I'm so intrigued, is where do you feel like in your life you are when it comes to maybe being quote successful? How do you gauge that for yourself?
Yeah, I think there's a few things that should be healthy in that question.
Mm-hmm.
I think number one is like, set the goalpost of where you want to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then don't be tempted to keep moving it, because a lot of people mm-hmm. want to do that. It's like, okay, if I can only have, you know, this house or this car or this mm-hmm. career, then I'm happy. And then you get there and you're like, wait a second, that's not enough. Like, I'm just going to change the goalpost to later. Mm-hmm. And then you find yourself never actually fulfilled, because you're basing your identity and your life on mm-hmm. the destination. And it should mm-hmm. never be about that. It's all about the journey.
Right.
So for myself, there's different seasons and different areas that, you know, I want to be successful in,
mm-hmm.
but I never want to get to that place where I'm like, I made it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, let me teach you guys. Sure. I'm gonna start doing TED Talks. You know,
right.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like, no, I want to keep growing. I want to always lead from a place of journey, not lead from a place of like arrival.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can do that, like, we're just going to have so much more fun. Because it's going to take the pressure off of like, oh, I have to be here, or like, I'm so behind. You know, like, what did I do wrong?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to quit everything because I didn't get there in time, and so many people are already there, and I did something wrong. So have grace with yourself. And I think I'm doing okay. I'm happy where I am and where I'm going. And I'm just excited for the future because God is so like funny and like has a way of like changing your course and like putting you in the rooms that you have to be, but you have to be obedient, you know, and you have to be willing to say like, yes, I'm going to go for it. One of the things that's been really speaking into my life in this season is like the whole concept of sin, right? And when you think about the Greek definition of sin, and it talks about missing the mark, like sin literally means missing the target, the mark. And it's more of a sin of omission rather than a sin of commission, right? And the church always focuses so much on like, don't do this, don't do that. This is what you have to do. This is what you don't do. And then it's like, you look at that scripture and you're like, Jesus is talking about like, this is such a big sin if you don't live your best life, the life that only you can live, that God created you to do. You might be busy doing all the right things, but is it the right thing that God created you to do? And if you don't live in your purpose, if you don't live in your identity that only you can, it's not just, you're not the only one who's missing out. There's literally like a domino effect on all these different people and relationships and outcomes that are going to happen if you fail to, you know, have the self-awareness and humility to encourage, because it takes courage to say, you know what, it's not easy, God, but I know you're calling me for this and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to choose purpose over comfort, and I'm going to do it with all my heart, you know, and I'm just going to go for it. And I've been challenged myself over the last 3 years to do it. And I can tell you with so much conviction, it's worth it. It's not easy, but it's hella fun. It's hella worth it.
Yeah,
I absolutely love it. And I'm just in for the ride. I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm excited for the future.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And you saying that, it reminds me of, I just finished a book with some of my girlfriends called The Call. And of course, I'm blanking on the author right now, but he was like best friends with C.S. Lewis and some other brilliant.
No way.
Yeah, like brilliant guys. And he talks about the call on our life and how a lot of times we all think of like our individual call, but there's a collective calling that we all have. That is like, my call has to do with a piece of the puzzle, and your call also does. And if, like you're saying, if each one of us isn't actually, you know, kind of in the lane that God has already like created and is really wanting to like help us pursue, like you're saying, there's pieces of the puzzles that miss. Like, I need to, you know, be so committed to where God has placed me and what he has for my life just as much as you do. Cause that actually, we actually correlate with each other, and our calls have to do with like, you know what I mean? Like the what God wants to accomplish on the earth as a whole. My call isn't just about myself. Like you're saying, it has to do with the people around me. It has to do with my obedience is linked to so many other things. And so it's obviously like just such a huge topic and a huge conversation.
Oh, but yeah.
I love that you say that. It's, there's so many people involved in what God has placed in our hearts. And so that just, I mean, that just called, that reminds us of just the importance of community, the importance of having good relationships and being able, like you're saying, be self-aware, learning how to grow and be challenged and all of that. It's good.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. So you, I feel like you have a lot of stuff coming up before we close. I just wanted you to just share just where people can find you. Obviously, of course, I'm going to link it all below, and I'm going to link our song, of course, because people need to hear it.
Drop it in the comments.
But
So I leave on Monday, May 23rd to Copenhagen, and I'll be doing 2 months of touring across Europe. So like Germany, Italy, Paris, France. I'll be in Poland, Romania, Latvia, just kind of all over the place, and doing worship nights, teaching my masterclass, and writing my book. So if you are in Europe and you're listening, go to my website, baruchsanchez.com, and you can see all the tour dates, get tickets, and all that fun stuff. And yeah, our music is, my music is just under my first name, Baruch. You'd be surprised, but there's no other artist with my name.
Which is so awesome. Cool.
I love it. I used to not like my name, but now I'm like, okay, it's very unique. And that comes in handy because, you know, if my name was like, you know, Juan, it's like five million Juan. I couldn't just use my first name for my music, but it's kind of cool that I can.
That's so cool.
So I'm excited to make new friends who are listening to this podcast and to hopefully catch you on the road. And Whitney, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm honored. You know, I also admire you so much, and I look up to you, and I think you're just such a genuine person, quality friend, and my life is so rich because you're in it.
Thank you. Right back at you, for sure. I appreciate you. And I just think so many people are just going to get some good wisdom nuggets from this.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood, as well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.